Thank you, Brother Scott, on the singing great. I'm glad to be here. Had a person one time, when the Lord was around, and he was most of the time, he'd say, "I feel like I've been to church already." It's just good to be in the Lord's house, and you have your Bible with you. Turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verses 1. Before we realize it, these days and nights will be gone. We spend our days as a tale that's told, and it's swifter than a weaver's shuttle, Job says. Before you realize it, things are done past, and what we had an opportunity to do and didn't do, we'll have to answer to the Lord for it. We can't put off tomorrow for what the Lord tells us to do today. And how we need to be doers of the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Do what He says.
Yes.
I like that old song, "I'm resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight."
Yes.
I'll hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. And maybe we ought to.
Yes, sir.
Get help. When I was a lad of a boy, I'm going to read in a moment, but how many of y'all ever read the book of Preacher Bob Childers, "The Man That Moved the Mountain"? Any of you? If you're ever up around Medicine End or Hillsville, you ought to get a copy of that book somewhere. You can get it, I know, out at Medicine End, there at the old country store, one side of the road or the other. But anyway, he was a rough one. And when he got big enough, boys did then to get him a 32 owl head and a pistol, they thought they'd arrived. And he got shot once and others. But anyway, God saved him. He got saved in the Baptist and went to Presbyterian. And they wasn't going to ordain him. He finally, they got to school. You had to be educated, graduated from them. But Preacher Bob Childers come back out there at Bluemont, and they had an article about him in the Roanoke paper while he's still living, "The Shepherd of the Hills." Lengthy article, told about churches. Bluemont Presbyterian Church is out of Field Rock on the outside. Same way as Mayberry. Now, there was a Mayberry out there about 7.5 miles from where I live a long time before Andy Griffin ever come. There's Mayberry Creek, and there was Mayberry Presbyterian Church, and there was a Mayberry store. And so there's a Mayberry Presbyterian Church there. And then there was Buffalo Mountain Presbyterian. It's still a fairly strong church. And then there's Slate Mountain. And he is responsible for every one of those churches. I mean, they had a building some, but they got Field Rock. And somebody laid them out, every one of them. Well, they had Sunday school on Saturday night. It's 4 miles from where I live. And back there in World War II, about time boys thought they was old enough to look at girls, and girls was looking for boys, that is a place to go out in the country.
Yeah.
Gas was rationed and everything. But every Saturday night, it'd be packed out. We'd walk, talk, have a good time in life. But the song of Brother Bob Childers, a big man. In fact, he had just about as tall as your choir director was. Great big broad shouldering. And he is jolly, he could get you to sing if you didn't want to. And they'd sing every Saturday night, a song y'all sung, "Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." And he'd hollered out, "Lord, lift me up, let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. Sing, we're going to higher ground." And if you want to stand while we read from Mark chapter 2, then God used him. Strange that a lot of preachers that come out to be his ministry, they went to the Baptist. Now, he'd baptize you. He got Baptist preachers. He has baptized himself, the Baptist, before he went to Presbyterian. And anyway, he wasn't as hyper-Calvinist as a Presbyterian. He preached to whosoever will. And then he got in a funeral over there at Buffalo Mountain. And that man had killed himself, the 32 owl head. The Primitive Baptist preacher got up, said it's predestined before the foundation of the world. The Lord wasn't made that metal for that gun to be made and the bullets to be made and then for him to kill himself. And Bob Childers got up and he stirred a hornet's nest. And he told him it wasn't God's will for him to do that. And he contradicted them. They loved him. But anyway, a lot of folks come then and said, "Preacher Bob, you said what needed to be said." Every Easter, somebody would get shot. They'd climb Buffalo Mountain that you'd see. It's a mountain like a buffalo. Got a hump on it. You'd see it. And Buffalo Mountain Presbyterian's about a mile or so from it. And so God used him as a man that moved a mountain. But about every preacher come out from him in a little while, they went Baptist. And it's in there. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says in verse 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was a noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" You know why they're accusing him of cursing? They knew that, and they're right. Only God can forgive sins, but God was manifest in the flesh right there. They said he's cursing, and immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned, now this ought to have been enough to convict them and convert them. You say, why? He knew what they're thinking. They didn't say out loud. He knows what you're thinking tonight. The lights went out, and your thoughts or mine come up here to see if they wasn't the Lord. A lot of us are running out. Some folks' life would run out of church. And then he said, they so reasoned in themselves. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? And I imagine there's a little holy hush. Whether it be easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into the house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on what happens when Jesus is in the house. Now, it makes a difference when the Lord's there. I remember one time a service is kind of dull, homecoming service of the evening. And they'd preach, you know, different one, the former pastors a few minutes and sing. Brother White, he had been there at that time and was there. And anyway, he'd just come from over there preaching, stopped by, had closed out a revival meeting. But we were sitting there and things was kind of dull and dry. I don't know what that's too full of food or what. But anyway, it just seemed like it wasn't anything good. And this old fella got up, and for 12 minutes, I want you to know he preached. And I remember what Brother White said to me when he sat down. He said, I'm going to stop. And everybody's hollering, preach, preach. And I've got him on tape. Somebody turned it on reel, and I just barely can understand him. His name was Brother Manuel Cullors. They called him Manuel. And he is a praying man, an old-time mountain preacher. Brother White looked at me and said, Brother Rayton, We study, we try to prepare our hearts and our minds. But unless the power of God comes down like it did on that brother, said he resurrected, God used him to resurrect the whole service. And he certainly did.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, it makes a difference when Jesus is in the house. You say, what happened? Well, Jesus had been on a preaching tour. And it seems kind of strange here to me. I went back, reviewed more than one time down through my journey on the road. Because in verse 35 of chapter 1, he had just been in a preaching and miracle. People get saved, healed, lepers cleansed, other things, diseases were healed. Then he got up very early in the morning before day and he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. And then his disciples knew evidently must have had a habit of that and where it was at. Peter came to him and said, all men seek you, Lord. There's a crowd already gathered there by the time the day was breaking to hear Jesus. I don't know what they wanted to hear the message as much as they wanted to see the miracles. You know, but we need to hear the message and then miracles go to happening. But anyway, Jesus, in other words, he is saying, go back into Capernaum. And the Lord said, no, I got to go into other cities and preach the gospel there also. Well, anyway, he went out and began to publish. And everywhere what had happened, this man that was healed of a leper in the latter part of chapter 1. And then you get in verse 2 where I began, it said, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. It was noise that he is in the house. Now in chapter 1, he was in Simon Peter's house, and I think he is in the same house. Because they had been on that tour and went to Simon Peter's house, and his mother-in-law was sick of a fever. And so they told him about it. He went over there and touched her, and she rose up. You and I know if you run a fever, even after it breaks, you get over it, you're weak. But it wasn't so with this case. When Jesus broke that fever and Simon Peter's wife rose up, she immediately went and ministered, started setting the food and serving them. And so you find that here, I believe he is in the house. And it said after some days he entered in to Capernaum, and after some days being in the house, he might have slipped out before daylight, come back before that the daylight come in his place to pray. But anyway, he was in the house, and when it did, it said it was noise that he was in the house. When Jesus is in the house, I tell you, I believe there's hanging on every word. I believe he is telling them things in the conversation from the Word of God and things maybe that wasn't recorded between him and the Father in heaven. And God didn't let us know what he said while he is there, but when he break the bread, give a blessing, wouldn't you like to hear a repeat on that while he's in the house? Oh, I tell you, there's words that I've heard and listened to people that I've never met that bless my heart. And then, all of a sudden, those that were in the house, there was something that happened. It was noised abroad that he was in the house. Suddenly, now you say, how was it? The people that was in the house, some of them had to come out. They couldn't stay in there no longer. I've seen folks a few times at a camp meeting in a church like this, but in the power of God, did some of them go to running? They'd have to run outside. You could hear them circling the building, shouting the praises of God, come back in, the hands up in the air. I tell you, you say it's a put on. If you'd have been there, you wouldn't have thought it was. I tell you now, when the Spirit of God goes to moving, there's things that go to happening. It was noise that he was in the house. I had a dear saint of God that I pastored in Bristol. She is saved under Mordecai Ham in one of those big tabernacle meetings. They had streetcars then. And that sister, her mother was a dedicated Christian. She is around 18 years old. Her mother took her to that tabernacle. And then she got under conviction the next morning down where that they made these Pointer brand and still do, as far as I know, these Pointer brand overalls and jeans, and got a picture of a Pointer on it. that they made those of denim. Mordecai Ham come in and preached. They closed the factory from 11 to 12 o'clock. He got up and preached, and Sister Violet Van, she said, I got back with a friend on a big pile of denim back there rolled up, trying to hide from God. But said, before I realized that, Dr. Ham said, about the time before he gave the invitation, I come off of there, and she had wet her hands up, said, Dr. Ham knew how to get you to God. Man, one morning, I was kind of preaching reprove, rebuke, and then exhorting folks to do right. She jumped up and she said, all preachers used to preach like that and cry out against sin. Sit back down. She is over here on my left. In about a couple of minutes more, she raised up and raised her hand. She didn't shout, said, but I like to be in the Father's house when the Father's at home, and sat back down. I tell you, the creek began to rise about that time. And in a little bit, she stood up and she said, I say, amen. Glory to God. Bless his name. Hallelujah. And all them good things. And she went to shouting. Preachers that come to preach for me, if they flew in or drove in, got them in the motel, they'd say, Brother Rutan, I hope God blesses Sister Violet Vance to shout. I've never heard anybody shout with the power and the move and the Spirit of God like her. Let me tell you something. When she got to shouting, it was real. And I thought about it when the Father's in the house. It is noise. I like to be at home and at the Father's house when the Father's at home. Oh, when the time come to die, she'd had a weak heart, went in the hospital, and she told me, I went out to ICU to see her. She is there, and you know something? She is hooked up with oxygen, IV, and she said, Preacher, I told them not to bring me back here again. Said, I heard Brother Harold Sutton to preach that, you know, he wanted everything God wanted him to have, and said, I wanted it to myself. Said, you know something? Said, I, instead of the rapture, I was ready to die. I get to go through paradise and then get glorified later. And man, she got all excited, and that monitor got to jumping up. I said, Sister Violet, they'll run me out of here. They'll think I caused it. Nurse come in and said, what's wrong? What's wrong? She said, I tell you, I was just telling the preacher I was ready to go and was ready to go through paradise and see the Lord. That nurse shook her head and acted kindly funny. Well, then about that time, she got to go home in a couple of days, and she's wanting to come back to church once more. But I got a call about 4 o'clock in the evening, and the daughter, the only child they had, was weeping, said, Brother Rayton, Mama just went to be at the Lord. We called the funeral directors. Can you come over? I went over there, and I beat the undertaker. Her husband had helped her to the bathroom. She sat down in the recliner, and she is sitting there. She had already moved out of this earthly tabernacle. Her husband was weeping, her daughter's weeping, her grandchildren was weeping. And she said, I know Mama wouldn't want us to leave. Her husband looked at me and said, Brother Rayton, you think it is any dust on the streets of gold? I said, I don't know, Brother Carl. He said, I tell you, if he is, about the first glimpse that Violet saw of Jesus, she kicked up a dust cloud. Man alive, I tell you, she went to the Father's house, but she went to God's house to worship. And when Jesus is in the house, there's some things that's going to be happening. It was noised abroad that he was in the house. You say, what? He's present, thank God. And I want to tell you, when God's our refuge and strength, and a very present help in time of trouble, when he begins to minister our heart, when he begins to lift us to that higher ground, when he shows us our need of getting closer to God, we'll get noisy about it when we get right. They come out of that house, and they got noised abroad that he was in the house. The presence was the Lord was manifest. It is noise. He is in the house. You let God give you a visitation from heaven that ought to be usual, but we call them unusual. I guess the reason why our physical being won't stand but so much of it, when the power of God falls and you see that outbreak. And oh, my soul, I had a friend that he said, I'm thinking about leaving. I'll tell you, things is going. And I said, listen, the battle's already won, and the devil's trying to defeat you now, and things is happening. Man alive, he said to me, he said the other Sunday, give me a call. And he said, listen, I'll tell you, said the power of God fell down. The Lord manifested his presence. Sinners are saved, and people that was looking at one another cross-eyed got right with God. And I'll tell you, preacher, it just got on. Listen, the presence of the Lord would be manifested. Said nobody didn't want to leave. Preacher sat beside of me on Friday night. And he said, you know something? Said for years at that church I pastored, and Brother Bobby Rohr, I think, is saved under Brother Robert White, and also another one, two preachers from that area. Both of them dead and in heaven now. But anyway, you know, he had pastored that Good News Baptist Church at Patrick Springs between there and Bassett, Virginia. He sat down and said, Brother Rayton, I was there 10 years, went to another little church, but one preacher said, done a good job, but that thing never would come out. And finally, people got so sick of three or four people just causing disruption, discouragement, and trying to stop the work of God. They got sick of it. And I got there and said, God moved them out. They finally told them, said, you either going to go to Behaven or we're going to vote you out. They said, we're going to have our say. And said, we voted them out of fellowship, and God started moving. Said, now, thank God, said, things has been going. They don't want to leave. Said, we start at 6 o'clock, get out around 7 or a little more, and said, you know something, or sometimes 7:30, they won't even go home. Said, I've already had 10 saved in the last 2 months. He sat there and wept. I want to tell you, when it's noise that Jesus is in the house, the presence of the Lord will be manifested. They'll go outside, go to tell another, and said, we got more sinners coming right now than I've had any time that I've been there in 10 years. And the people of God, they sing, they rejoice, and they talk about the things of the Lord. You say, what else will happen when Jesus is in the house? I tell you, the preaching of the word will be mighty in power. You say, what? It says in verse 2, straightway many were gathered together in some mud. You say, what? Them that was noised abroad out there and said, the Lord's in the house. They come running from every direction. I don't believe the man, woman, boy, or girl has got so low down unless God's turned them over to a reprobate mind. But what when, no matter how sinful and how far they've sunk down, but when they hear of a real moving of God, it'll have an attraction to it that Jesus will draw. Listen, didn't he say in John 12, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. They were telling about it, and the excitement and the joy, and all of a sudden the encouragement they had. Jesus is in the house, and they come from every direction. And I'll tell you, he preached the word of God to us. If Jesus preached the word, that's what we're to preach. If Jesus, my brother, proclaimed the word, oh, that's what we're to proclaim. If Jesus walked in the Spirit, you and I are supposed to. If Jesus always did that which pleased the Father, if we're followers of God as dear children, we'll be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he's in the house, the preaching of anybody, it'll be preaching of compassion. It'll be preaching that brings conviction. What a difference it makes when the power of God is there, when conviction is moved. Oh, my soul, I tell you now, there's a person that had got wrong with a person, and they are out of fellowship with God. I said, you know something? Some of you right now that's got an evil feeling, got a grudge in your heart, and you're not to carry that around. You ought to get up and go with that person and make it right with God. Boy, I didn't know a fella come up to me, and he said, preacher, I've been angry at you for a long time. I said, I didn't know it. You hit it off a well. He said, I tell you, when you got on the giving a part of it, I didn't want to tithe, but he said, I hadn't seen you in a while, and he said, I want to tell you, Becker said, I left the church you was at over that, and said, I never stayed miserable all the time, but I got right with God in the tithe. He said, will you forgive me? I said, I didn't know I had to, but I do. He said, whoo, I sure do feel better.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
It sure does make a difference.
Yeah, man.
There is a conviction, and then there's commitment. You'll do what's right. He is telling, he is preaching the word of God. He is describing it like nobody else could. How do you think that he described it in Luke 24 when these men, their shirt tail was dragging their tracks out? They is dejected, they is despondent, they is in despair, and they is going along. And Jesus had heard rose from the dead, but that didn't encourage them that day. All of a sudden, Jesus joined himself, said, "Why are you walking and are so sad?" Well, they spoke of Jesus in the past tense, but thank God he is present right there. You say, what did they say? They said, "Well, are you a stranger in Jerusalem, not knowing the things that happened?" He said, "What things?" He drew them out. And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, we trusted it would have been him that would do that. We trusted it had been him that was." But said they crucified him. And they even say that he rose from the dead. And then Jesus gave them a severe rebuke and said, "Oh, fool and slow of heart and slow to believe the scripture. Ought not Christ have entered to these things and suffered these things and entered in his glory?" And he began at the scripture and preached all the prophecies concerning him. I'll tell you right now, they had a heartburn that a rollator heart couldn't cure. I mean, a tub couldn't cure. They got to the house, and he is walking along. He opened the scriptures to them, and the word of God. I'd have liked to have heard that sermon, wouldn't you? Nobody could explain it like him. I'll tell you, I've tried, but you can't. And only he, because never a man speaks like he spoke. And all of a sudden, they started to go on. They said, "Come in the house." They had the bread, and he blessed it, and their eyes were open. Then all of a sudden, he disappeared out of their sight. They looked at one another and said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he opened us a scripture?" By the way, we need the fire in our bones as well as in our heart, as well in our bone. And they ran back the same hour and said, "The Lord's risen indeed." Boy, they know us it abroad. We believe it. He talked to it. And how you think all of a sudden, right in the middle of the sermon, it says in verse 3, "And," a conjunction is tying with what they had heard. These some fellows, now, if you got to leave a service, I understand that. But these fellows, they had to leave. You say, why they did? Because all of a sudden, it was noise, the presence of the Lord is manifested. The preaching was mighty. They knew the word. These men, all of a sudden, if he preached with compassion and conviction, all of a sudden, they thought about this man that was sick of the palsy, that was a sinner. But listen, you say, what did they do? I tell you, these four men, they heard the word of Jesus. He preached, and they were moved with compassion. You say, how you know it? Why would they have went to get this fellow if they didn't have compassion and feeling towards it? Not only that, they had cooperation, thank God. One man couldn't have brought him. Two men couldn't have brought it. But four of them got it. They is cooperating together. Do you know we're laborers together with God? When Jesus is in the house, we'll have the unity and we'll cooperate. We want to do what God wants us to do. And brother, they did it. You say they did? They sure did. You know, they went and got this man, and they didn't ask him if he wanted to come. I can't find it.
Right.
No, sir.
You're right. You're right.
And another thing, he couldn't resist them.
Yeah.
They just said, "We're taking you to Jesus." "Well, I don't feel good today." They said, "That's all right. You'll feel better when you get there."
Oh, yeah.
I kind of see him as they put him on the stretcher. I'd see them one at four corner. Here they went.
Oh, yeah.
And there's such a crowd then that they could not even get close to the door. They're hanging, looking in the windows, thank God. Things is happening around there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes. Not only did they have cooperation, not only did they have compassion, but thank God they had right then and there at that minute. They were cooperating one with another, but I tell you, they had commitment. There's like that old camp meeting song, "I would not be denied." Most of us would have said, "Well, we can't get him anywhere near Jesus. We'll take him back another day," but not them. They had heard the mighty preaching of the word of God. They knew that Jesus is in the house. They believed with God all things is possible. Hallelujah.
Well, yeah.
outside stairway up they went. I believe that one of them said, hey, that man that said laid him down on the ground, one of them said, you stand here and I'll step, and then the other step. We don't have a rule, a tape measure to measure, but where Jesus is standing preaching, let's measure it exactly. We'll go up and let him down. We'll tear up the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
You say they did, they sure did. Now, if that had been my house, I don't know what, when they started tearing the roof down, I'd say make way for them. But they didn't, nobody disturb them. The Bible said they broke it up. If they broke it up, they couldn't have laid it back together. It wasn't a pulling the nails out. They broke it up. They had measured where he's at. And I believe that the four of them in their cooperation let the man right down at the feet of Jesus. No, they couldn't come by for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, in verse 4, they let down the bed where he and the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven them. You know what? It wasn't a man's faith. They probably brought him against his will. But they were doing the will of God as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. They'd left the meeting. They went after him. They had compassion on him. They knew he's a sinner. They knew he had the palsy so bad he couldn't walk. But anyway, they said to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. We all going to die no matter if he heals us some physical condition, won't we? If a rapture don't come, we're going to die. But the greatest miracle he ever done is when he forgives sin. He gives you everlasting life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Man, believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, believest thou this. You're just absent from this old house of clay, present with the Lord. Yes, Jesus ever performed. He meets the greatest need. It costs the greatest price that we could be forgiven. And it brings the greatest blessings that you can ever have. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. You don't have to worry about a run on the bank of blessings. You don't have to call up heaven and get an answer, insufficient funds. Hallelujah. Yeah, you say, what about these men? They presumed, they took for granted. That word presume is taken as true belief without positive proof, but they had seen him do it and they believed he could do it again. If we can get this man to Jesus, he'll be all right. Yes. Yes. I had a fellow up at Mendota, Virginia, about 15 miles out of Bristol. He had some boys that got on pot. He had a daughter going to man. Boy, beautiful girl. He's about 21 or 2. That boy, she found out later, he gave her some pot, got her on drugs. He said, preacher, I brought them down here because it's straight preaching. I want to see my children saved. They didn't. Well, anyway, she broke up that fella that was dealing in drugs and taking and got on it. This was in the spring of the year, long about the time right before hunting season, leaves are starting to fall. A little bit, he come by and begged, said, I've changed and everything. Go with me over to Kingsport. I want to go out and eat. Let's go again, and maybe things can work out. I love you and all of that. He said, that man told me, said, preacher, when she didn't come home that night, I knew I'd never see her alive again. Man was hunting up there on government property there towards Big Stone Gap, Virginia. He saw a foot in the leaves. It had been bitter cold. And when they did, they found her body. He looked at me and he said, preacher, I know she is saved. I saw the difference in it. My daughter breaks my heart. I tried to get her. She wouldn't listen. She loved them. Sometimes this love here, human love, said it'll take us too far, but said the love of God won't never take you too far. They presume if we can just get him for Jesus. We never saw it fail. We've not seen it yet, but if we can get him there, we believe everything's all right.
Sure.
And when they got him there, They let him down when Jesus saw their faith. The first thing he said, not to be healed of the palsy. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You think anything any better than that? You remember the time when you knew you was forgiven, God forgive you for Christ's sake? When you passed from death unto life? When you got up off your knees and cried out for mercy to God to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself? God, that was rich in mercy, if his great grace wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sin, he's quickened us together, that God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The Son of Man come to seek to save that which is lost. Yet Jesus said out here, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you in the world. John 20:31. Every one of us knows somebody we can send and go get. It might not be current. That's why Jesus sent them out two by two, not one by one. But four of them went together here. They heard about Jesus preaching with such compassion. They heard him preaching out here with such conviction of what they ought to do. No doubt it caused that commitment till they got him. And they would not be denied. I mean, they absolutely saying, we're going to get him. They wouldn't quit till they got him to feet of Jesus. That's all they could do. But then he took over. In fact, he is working through them to start with. They heard his words while he was preaching and they acted upon it. You say, what happened then? There's some of them there that question him, the scribes, the Pharisees. I mean, he is popular this time. That was before he ever spoke in John chapter 6, except a man eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You have no life in you. These ones that ordered you. They said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? From that time, many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with him. He said, will you also go away? Simon Peter might have spoke unadvisedly a few times, but he sure spoke right then. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe you're the Son of God, the Savior of the world.
Amen.
When Jesus knew he reasoned, they reasoned in the heart. And this is about the only time I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But it seems like Jesus said right here, I'll show you one time. Now, they'd seen before what he did. But he knew what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said, why reason these your things in your heart? Which is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, if somebody says their sins is forgiven, you know time will prove it. If you really get saved, you know what? You won't go to church. Like that man, John chapter 9, when his eyes got open, the Lord sent him to the pool of Siloam, made clay, put in his eyes, sent him to the pool of Siloam, he got washed, came seeing. And then they had all a question all about it. And you know what? He was in the synagogue. He went to church. He hadn't really then. He didn't know who it was except the name. You and I was like him. We had never seen him, but we called on the name. They said, how'd you get your eyes on me? Said a man called Jesus.
Amen.
He's still doing it.
Amen.
Then they got him up. Mother and dad, is this your son? Yes. We know it's our son. Was he born blind? Yes. Boy, they gave him a third degree, didn't they? They said, well, all right, how was his eyes on him? They said, he is of age. Asked him, because they had already agreed anybody confessed Jesus got thrown out. I read this where an old saint of God went in his form of fossilized church. If you don't know what that is, used to have life. A fossil is, but it's dead, hard as stone now. But anyway, I read where one of them went, old saint of God, and said, I tell you, Jesus out here buried their sins in the depths of the sea and forgot them. She said, amen, praise the Lord. Jesus, at least, he is online. But they didn't want any emotion that way. Said, Jesus will lift you up when you're down. Amen. About that time, two stewards went to her and said, you don't be quiet. We're going to escort you out. She said, okay. About that time, said, Jesus, because if you're saved, I'll take you to glory. She jumped up and said, hallelujah. And I read where they got her and took her out, said, Lord, you run into a town on one duck and I'm riding out on two. And that's just about the way some of them are, do you know it? I mean, they fossilize. These ones then, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now only God could forgive sins, they said. They was right about that. But he said right here, he said, I'm going to prove it to you. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he immediately rose up, took up his bed he'd been carried in, rolled it out, went out of there and sang, and Jesus saved, Jesus saved. You say they did? Yep. He went forth before them, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw it on this fashion. If you only use bad language, we ain't never seen nothing like that.
Yeah.
When he's in the house, things go to happening. I preached a funeral about 4 years ago of a man over at Stuart, Virginia. He never married. He's a big, strong man named Bernie Dollyhite. So there's the liquor still, not far from where I lived, first house after I sold the farm and moved. Still working a job. And they over there on Johnson's Creek, you could go rabbit hunting, squirrels hunting, you could find just one corner after another where it's bushes at, where there'd been a furnace where a maiden moonshine. I mean, a lot of them fellas in that orchard, they got enough money to buy the apple trees and peach tree for selling whiskey. And they got right, said it's the only way they had to make a dollar. That's what some of them told me. But anyway, over there, they'd gotten an argument at Mount Air, North Carolina, on the warehouse floor. And Bernie Dollyhide, they said he is so strong. And he looked like it. I mean, he is a giant of a man. Strong, muscular. Getting a hold of him is like getting a hold of this wood on this pulpit. They said he could hit a horse and knock it down. That was mean. But anyway, this man, they'd gotten an argument with over the back or something down on the warehouse floor at Mount Airy, right there at 60152, was a warehouse. Windows is there and some other things go out to Lowe's. But anyway, up there at that liquor still, they said they was making whiskey several. They'd turned the barrels upside down to have the mash. Spread out some old canvas or something, playing poker, drinking liquor, and rolling dice. And when the whiskey has got to flowing enough, Bernie Dollyhite, he started towards Curtis Bowman. And Bernie told me out of his own mouth, I'm repeating what he said. But anyway, when he started towards Curtis, he knew he had a nine-shot 22 target pistol. He shot seven times in Bernie Dollyhite. Before Bernie still had strength enough afterwards to go and get that man, grab a gun, wring it out of his hands, and Bernie told me of his own words, him lost, drinking, another man, that man was bald-headed. He said, I counted the shots. I knew if he had an empty chamber, it's one more. I was strong enough, I got him around the neck, and I put that gun right between his eyes. I started to kill him. And Bernie didn't say, Lord, he said, the Lord spoke to me, don't kill that man. I let the hammer down and he took a swing at him. I saw it cut a gash, this man was bald-headed, Curtis Bowman, all the way back the side of that pistol. Bernie walked over 500 yards out to the road, got help. Went to Mount Airy, North Carolina, they patched 51 holes in his intestine. They left three or four bullets in him. And you know something? When he got out of the hospital, I went to see him and witness some others. We had talked to him before. He got out of the hospital. He said, preacher, I may come to your church sometime. We started at evening after we had a meal and it's warm. It's in March. And it got warm like we had. He is down there at Johnson Creek Road, laying in the broom sage and leaves on the side of the road, sleeping a drunk off after all that. Come to church at night. Five Sunday nights, he wouldn't come on Sunday morning. He raised a hand up a fifth Sunday night, looked like one of these small picnic hams. He was that big. He waved it, a pews against the wall. Some more, 81-year-old man and his wife, 79. 25-year-old man, Bernie, 54 at that time. and then a 25-year-old man would witness to. When I said amen, his red hair was touching my feet. He is calling on God to save him. Mother Bernie coming out, couldn't get out. He apologized to person after person. Forgive me, I was a sinner then. And listen, old deacon that run a store up there, Brother Charlie Inscore, he said, Brother Charlie, forgive me. He had went to the store, got a bottle of pop out of the cooler, reached inside his coat pocket back before he got shot. Took him a drink of whiskey in the store and chased it. Took him another drink. Brother Charlie's a deacon. He said, Bernie, I don't allow folks drink. He cursed him, threatened him. He said, Brother Charlie, please forgive me. I was a sinner then. You know what? He got up and I asked him about it, what I'm telling you. I said, Curtis, what did you think? And Curtis is pumping them bullets. He said, I knew I couldn't run, Brother Rayton. And said, when I got that right gun, I stopped it so he couldn't pull it, and I'd counted the shots, and I wrung it out of his hand. I was strong enough to. And then when I put it, said, the Lord spoke to me, don't kill him. And I left. That man summons me as a character witness that shot him. He asked me to come, and I said, Bernie's got saved, and he wouldn't understand, subpoena me. I went down to Stewart, the courthouse, the old one there, right next to where I got the license for my wife, and I was married. I was over here, and folks had preach meetings around. About that time, they called, a judge come in, everyone stood, God save this honorable court, Commonwealth Attorney Bernie, Curtis Bowman's lawyer they had from Martinsville, Virginia. They approached the bank. They talked a little bit. I couldn't hear but a word occasionally, just whispering to one another. Judge said, court recess. They went out and was gone till 15 after 11. Come back in, court dismiss till 1 o'clock. I was talking to folks trying to get out. Bernie had walked out. Looking, overlooking Stewart, the courthouse, I finally found him. I said, Bernie, what happened? When are they going to have a trial? I can't be. And I told him. He patted me on the back, said, that's all right, Brother Rayton. Him, you coming? I want you to say. He said, it's over. I said, it never has started. He said, I didn't want him to go to pen. He's got a family. I told him if he'd take care of the rest of my hospital building, Bill just put out there on it, that I wanted him to go free. Now I'm gonna tell you, bless the Lord, somebody had shot me 7 times and I'd survive, I'd want at least 30 days out of it. But you say what? Them man, it might have brought this man against the will. You know what Bernie Dolly Hyde said? He might be saved like me. Glory to God. Right there on the courthouse, I said, hallelujah.
Why yes? Why yes, sir? Why yes? Amen, Doc.
When Jesus is in the house, something goes to happen.
Yes, sir, Doc. Yes, sir, Doc. Amen, Doc. Oh, yes.
The presence will be manifested. Oh, yes. His preaching will be powerful as he speaks through his servant even. And then thank God, we're just going to believe that he's going to perform a miracle. He still does it. He's the same. It doesn't change. What about you? I wonder if we could get some out here in cooperation. You know somebody. You'd work together to get them. Got out of church or unsaved. Then if you'd have enough compassion to go to them, cooperate, and then compel them to come in like that man and bring him to Jesus. You say, I can't save him. No, they didn't think they could save him, but that man got more than he bargained for. He got healing of the body, but the most important thing, he got healing for the soul. And he went out giving glory to God. And they said, we never have seen it like this before. And he's in the house. God don't work the same way from one service to the next. He might manifest himself in different ways, but it's glorious however he does.